Right now, we're talking about Dr. King's legacy and more contemporary issues surrounding race in our communities. We're zooming in on Eau Claire. Last fall, you might recall there were racist incidents on the UW-Eau Claire campus. Out of that came a task force to recommend actions to improve equity, diversity, and inclusion on campus by the end of this month. So what can college campuses do to promote cultural competence and understanding? Where do you see inclusive projects that work in your community, that work in your employer, employment? What's lacking? Join in 800-642-1234. Salika Duckworth-Lawton is a history professor at UW-Eau Claire. She's been at the university for nearly 25 years, specializing in U.S. social history, African-American history, and military history. She's president of Uniting Bridges of Chippewa County, and she serves on the executive board of the Chippewa Valley chapter of the ACLU of Wisconsin. Salika, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you for having me.
So we saw those two incidents involving racism that happened on your campus during the fall semester, one involving a group of football players who allegedly exchanged racist messages on social media. The other was a racist message written on a dorm door. So what was your reaction to these events last fall?
Well, I mean, my reaction had a personal and a professional part to it, because I knew a number of the students who were involved. And they had taken my African-American history class, and it made me wonder, are they paying attention? Do they understand what they are learning? But it did make a number of us, and that included me, question our safety on campus and question the presence of covert racism in a way that I think we had not questioned before. And that's important because there's been so much of an emphasis on microaggression and petty acts that bringing the focus back to this kind of behavior, I think, is important for moving us forward and building more of what Martin Luther King called a beloved community.
And last month, UW-Eau Claire Chancellor, your Chancellor James Schmidt, announced this formation of a task force, a rapid action task force. What do you hope comes of it?
Well, I mean, we need to ratchet our expectations down. You're not going to solve in 1 month problems that it has taken 500 years for this country to create. They will probably take actions that will have to do with physical safety on campus. And some things that we did need to deal with, such as our bias incidents reports and how to weed out the ones that are trolling the system. So I expect for them to do some quick acts that will be helpful, but they can't in a month get at the root causes. There's parallel processes at work. There's going to be a long-term task force, and a number of faculty and staff and students have already organized to deal with it ourselves in some ways, because there's a limit to what an administrative response can do. Under state law and federal law, certain types of obnoxious speech are legal. In this case, the Snapchat was actionable because it had a physical threat within it. If it had not had a physical threat, the university may not have been able to act on it. So we need to really hit how do you de-escalate situations where you have this legal but intimidating or chilling speech.
Salika, you just mentioned bias incidents reports. What are those reports?
Well, I was on the bias incident report team 3 years ago. And students, faculty, staff, and people outside the university can report incidents of racial, sexuality, gender, et cetera, bias to the university through those reports. Now, part of the problem, though, is that we don't have a good definition of what bias means, and sometimes people report things that are legal. There are three investigators of record who have Title IX experience, who legally can investigate these and separate them into founded, unfounded, or people are complaining about something that's obnoxious but legal. So there's a process that those reports have to go through before they can even make it to the investigation stage. And that's to protect people who are engaging in their rights, sometimes in manners people won't like. There are some people who think that I shouldn't be teaching about African American history. They have the right to make a complaint about that, but that's not going to go very far because that's my job. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And last month, we spoke with your chancellor, James Schmidt, about the campus climate, and he impressed that the campus is taking an urgent response. Here's some of what he said on our program.
Racism is one of the things that pushes down people, continues to remind people of our past, and continue to suggest you're not worthy of this educational experience. You're not worthy of climbing that ladder of success. That's the reason this institution has taken, frankly, such a passionate response to this.
Do you find the work happening on your campus right now, would you characterize it as a passionate response to trying to stop racial incidents, trying to stop hate incidents?
I think that my campus is planning for an effective response. I know the chancellor very well, and I do work with him. So I think there is a sense on my campus that we are tired of this happening and we want to develop a better response. There's also an understanding that a response cannot be a top-down animal, that faculty, staff, and students are going to have to be involved and educated before we can change the way we respond. We're starting a community-wide book group in part because sometimes the racial incidents that happen on our campus, well, a lot of the times, come from people coming off campus. And you can't change the campus without working with the community. We also need to understand we're not a very diverse campus and not a very diverse community. So preparing this community for that kind of diversity is one of the challenges that we have for the 21st century.
We're talking with Salika Duckworth-Lawton. She's a history professor at UW-Eau Claire. You can join in. How do you think campuses should promote equity and inclusion? What should the punishment be for racial incidents on college campuses? How do campuses heal and move forward? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Salika, you've called racism an endemic problem in our country. You've just mentioned here that in order to work together in Eau Claire, you must draw in the community and bring together the campus. How can fostering larger conversations just, you know, even outside of the university, outside your walls, how can that help, you know, you Eau Claire move forward and have a better understanding?
There's a lot of research, and I did some of it at RAND when I was there, that shows that the more segregated groups are, the more anxious they are, and the more likely they are to stereotype each other. We also know that confirmation bias means that when people stereotype, they're pretty resistant to any evidence of it except for contact, controlled contact, and the difficult conversations that we have as people. So part of this is to bring our communities together and to have difficult conversations in a civil manner where people can see that these anxieties are not warranted and that these stereotypes are not true. The more anxious people are, the more likely they are to stereotype. And the less contact people have had with the groups that they are scapegoating, the easier it is to continue to scapegoat them. And when you look at our country, the majority of the racial anxiety, the majority of the stereotyping, the majority of the imaginary racial boogeymen who are being thrown up come from areas that are hyper-white and have very little contact. So to have those discussions with people who have actual experience, to have those discussions with people who are of the scapegoated group in a civil manner where the people who are from marginalized communities are not traumatized is a research-based way to deal with racial animosity. The Army's been doing this research really since 1951. And that's one of the reasons why the U.S. Army's Enlisted Corps and Officer Corps are the most integrated groups in the U.S. today.
We're talking with UW-Eau Claire History Professor Salika Duckworth-Lawton about her views on race relations on campus, efforts to bring people together. How important is diversity to you, and what value does it bring? Have you met people from different backgrounds in that situation that fundamentally changed your outlook, your worldview? Share your story, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a moment here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for a conversation about diversity, equity, and inclusion here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. And UW-Eau Claire History Professor Salika Duckworth-Lawton, she's called on to talk about these issues a lot, a whole lot. And as an educator, she works at this critical intersection of race, military history, and national security. And she wants to help her students to listen to each other, especially across divides. On this MLK Day, do you find yourself listening more? What are you thinking about to improve race relations in your own community or at your own work? How do you want to talk with loved ones about privilege and biases? Join in any point, 800-642-1234. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. And UW-Eau Claire History Professor Salika Duckworth-Lawton stays with us. Let's go to the phones now. Rich is joining us from Rhinelander this morning. Hi, Rich.
Hi. I think the jigsaw puzzle that we call Wisconsin racially needs to be taught to all of us in terms of the housing patterns in Wisconsin. I've said before, and I maintain, that even though Midwesterners like to think of themselves as really nice, polite people, when you look at how we use our real estate money to live only with people who resemble us and talk like us and think like us, you reach some very interesting conclusions, which I believe the national press will come to when the Democratic convention comes to Milwaukee this July.
Well, Rich, thanks for the call. Salika, how would you respond to that, that our disparities in housing, who lives where, actually really impacts inequities?
It does. I mean, there's plenty of research. I can start with Massey, that segregation in housing flows to inequities in education, flows to our anxieties about each other, flows to stereotyping, which creates more flight or fight and causes a really ugly cycle. Now, what's difficult for that is the fact that we just saw the first kindergarten cohort where whites are a plurality instead of a majority. So whether you can't just keep running from a problem that is going to be there, this fear. And as we see more interracial marriage, especially up here at in the North, there are more people of color who are emerging in the area. So segregation is at the heart of the problem. Separation is the heart of the problem. And the fear that comes from segregation is what we have to fight.
Let's bring in another call, Marcus in Milwaukee. Hi, Marcus.
Hi. So being that it's Martin Luther King Jr. Day brings to mind a quote my grandfather used to say to me quite often. He said, Martin Luther King Jr. Said, be the change. Martin Luther King Jr. said, it's always the right time to do the right thing. And then he followed up with Gandhi, be the change you want to see in the world.
How does that impact your life personally, Marcus?
I just try to be a better person, be more outgoing, more positive, more chivalrous, catch a door at a gas station, just say hi to people. Just try to be more pleasant and spread more happiness in the world.
Marcus, thanks. Yeah, Salika, it sounds like it's the little things that really matter.
Well, we can all do the little things that individualize each other. The way we're going to fight racism is through these individual contacts. And the individual contacts grow to be communities. Martin Luther King talked about a beloved community where we love each other, we individualize each other, we don't stereotype each other. And those individual people doing that and checking ourselves when it's comfortable for us to use power to hurt someone, and checking ourselves when we are justifying that using power is how we get to a beloved community.
We're talking with Salika Duxworth-Lawton. She's a history professor at UW-Eau Claire. You can join in. What are the big civil rights issues that you believe are most pressing, both here in Wisconsin and around the country? 800-642-1234. Salika, when we talked last year, you said that in many ways, Martin Luther King Jr. was the most radical civil rights leader of his generation. What about his message do you think threatened or scared people?
Well, in 1967, in his speech, What We Must Do Now, he pushed for an individual guaranteed income. He pushed for economic reforms that would reform abuse of power. He wanted to bring everyone, regardless of race, regardless of class, gender, etc., into an American citizenship. And for some people, they find that very scary. They need their scapegoats in order to feel superior. They need to feel superior. And we do need to talk about the fact that these people, these are the bullies from the schoolyard. We act like they grow out of it, and they don't always grow out of it. And as they get older, race will be one of the things they will bully on, gender they will bully on, your economic class. The loss of their economic power really did frighten people.
Last week, there was this Washington Post poll. It found that Black Americans are deeply pessimistic about the future of the country. 83% believe President Trump is a racist. 65% say it's a bad time to be a person of color. Do you have any hope that America will be truly inclusive?
Well, American history is kind of like a cha-cha. You take two steps forward, you take one back.
Okay.
And we have been in this place before. We were in this place at the turn of the century when Teddy Roosevelt was elected. We were in this place in the 1830s under Andrew Jackson and the 1866 and 67 with Andrew Johnson. And to be honest, we were in it in 1968. The thing is, our people have to make a decision. Do we want a united, strong America that stands for those values we have in the Bill of Rights? And that means everyone has to access them. Or do we want to indulge these supremacists and allow them to continue destroying our country and dividing us? We have to make that decision. This is the time when every individual American has to choose. We're either going to put our country first, or we're going to be destroyed from within. And I think that I'm not alone in, and it's not just the Black community that feels that.
Given the racist incidents that did happen late last year on your campus, what do you hope can be achieved with the campus's Martin Luther King Day celebration today?
Well, here in Eau Claire, we have a rather unique Martin Luther King program. And we're honoring four leaders, but we're also speaking King's words. And we have words from James Baldwin and from Kindi's How to Be an Anti-Racist. So we're hoping that the program today, which also includes voter registration and a number of other services, will help to bring the community and the campus together and help people to see across race, across these other identities that they have. So being in the pews and giving their opinion and also singing and holding hands with each other to bring people together is probably one of the most powerful things you can do.
Salika, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Salika Duxworth-Lawton, she is a history professor at UW-Eau Claire. She's been at the university for nearly 25 years, specializing in U.S. social history, African-American history, and military history. You're with us for The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and this is The Ideas Network.